welcome to the With the Will podcast. We're here to entertain and inform while talking about Digimon. I'm Mark, I run With the Will and produce Digimon on Blu-ray.
I'm Dev Hugh, and I exist.
We both exist. On the plus side, we survived last week, which, starting a new show and a game coming out.
What shit to do?
Yeah, I guess we should talk about our plans for Time Strangers. I think we won't spoil anything about it until, like, last episode of the year, first episode next year. Plenty of time for people to play, get it over the holiday season, and so forth. You know, you might have time to play it at that point.
Play.
Yeah, so I think that's what we'll do. And then, hey, new beat break. It's very weird to have a show back on the air at this point.
Yeah, it's, like, very refreshing. It's like, oh, yeah, I have a thing to look forward to.
So, episode 2 glowing on, and it starts off right where we left off. Actually, kind of like a hair before the last episode left off, but different perspective.
Yes.
How do you like having ongoing plot, Dev?
It is so nice. You have no idea. I'm so tired of just, like, unrelated episodic bullshit that could be watched in any particular order.
We get the fight where it left off. It's a nice, dynamic fight. Every time, the more Gekkomon fights, does it really feel like they're taking inspiration
Spider-Man?
From Spider-Man? Yeah, that's exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes, especially like the running, like the camera following him while he's like running on along
and
the walls.
And whenever he uses the tongue, and he goes flying off, and
Thwip.
And then they detail that using too much E-pulse is not a good idea, as they both start to get drained. And then they connect the Haimon to Hitomi, having one of them. The flashback's a bit odd, though, because the flashback wasn't to where Haimon was there, so it's a flashback that no one was there for.
Yep.
And also...
And no one else sees, it's just the audience.
And it's Tomuro's fault, technically.
It's like, oh, you touched the thing.
Yeah, Wolverman, I like Wolverman. I'm still not sold on the design, though.
Kind of funny, though.
And then we get an Haimon starts to evolve, and nothing as Gokuamon grabs out the energy egg. I guess it's a Sapotama, technically. They refer to it as such, but also the weird thing is, does it feel odd they're trying to, like, hide that it's Gokuamon, but also they aren't?
It's like, if you know, you know.
But also, like, it's not that they're just showing him silhouette. Like, they do color in bits enough that you can go, like, it's Gokuamon. It's not someone who looks like Gokuamon. Even in the end credits, they do not credit him as Gokuamon.
Like, this is... It's a monkey!
Yeah. Then, Kyo jumps in.
It's fucking Gokuamon.
Now, here's where we actually get a bit of setup that works based on the 6-minute portion from last time is we know how powerful Marasimamon is, so that he wasn't able to do anything to Gokuamon works well, and then Gokuamon jumps into Portal.
Like, up, he's fucking off away into digital space, we're not going after him.
Then we get a birthday flashback. Lots of good details pop in here, though. First, Tomuro really is not reacting to Digimon well. Makoto's friendly. Reyna is, I like the combination of, like, very workman-like, but also acting aloof.
It's like, hey, we're probably kind of co-workers now.
And Pristimon's angry.
I think Pristimon just has resting bitch face, though.
To be fair, she does snap a couple times in the episode. I like it. I would like to see more of Pristimon. Also, Kyo clarifies that Asuka is the... They showed up because Asuka asked them to look over Tomuro. Then before
okay, me and your brother are friends.
Yeah. Then here's where the episode starts to get interesting. They set up a lot of stuff. The last time we're like, oh, I wonder if these are going to be slow burn clarifications. If they're like, nope, destroyed town, water, old freeway. They explain what cleaners do.
It's that, like, the government is hiding some shady shit.
And then interestingly, I guess Digimon don't eat human food in this universe. Because the other Digimon are very surprised when Gekkomon does.
Like, why the fuck are you putting that in your mouth? You don't have to eat human food.
Also,
why are you doing this?
I really like Cougarmon, like, just kind of sitting there doing nothing.
Just like an actual cat.
Yeah, and then everyone gets up. Tomuro getting upset as everyone's being casual and his brother's dead. And then what we said last time was not dead. Although I will admit, I'm a little surprised they're clarifying it so quickly.
I guess it kind of, like, gives him a motivation. It's like, oh, it's not just revenge. Like, you're actually trying to save,
yeah,
quote-unquote, your
also,
brother.
Also, victory. A new eye catch. They better keep doing that.
It was very delightful.
It was, but I don't want it to be Tomuro next week.
I'm guessing it'll probably be one of the girls followed by whatever their Digimon is.
Then we get a lot of, they start to detail stuff. They explain cold heart victims. They're all in the hospital. They're not dead. Also, am I wrong? So they kind of glossed over this, and maybe I'm just reading into what the wording too literally. Does the wording from Kyo suggest that the parents aren't dead either?
Yeah, he says, like, oh, you two live away from your parents.
Yeah,
right?
they have no follow-up to that, but that feels very much on purpose. Then we get Claire, Digimon are born from errors in Sampotama. The World Union knows, but hides it. I have to be honest, the name feels a bit lazy.
Yeah.
It nothing wrong with it, just a bit easy. I will say this, it's much creepier having the cold heart victims sitting up in bed with eyes open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's a little disturbing. Yeah. Which is probably why Tomuro kind of like lost his shit and started sobbing there.
And then Kyo has to explain the egg that Gokuamon took still has the E-pulse in it so they can restore it potentially. You'll have to work as a cleaner to find clues. Tomuro stomps off upset. The one thing that...
Kyo was just like, hey, I've been horribly traumatized. My brother is kind of sort of catatonic. And also, are you blackmailing me into helping you and working for you?
I'm not sure blackmail is the right word. It's more that he doesn't have a choice, because if that is the solution, he has to figure it out. But also, does it feel like they're laying out the path for Tomuro in the story a bit easy? Like, there's nothing for him to
actually... I guess he's trying to get it going.
Yeah, what I mean is there's nothing for him to decide. Like, he kind of doesn't have a choice in the matter.
That's like, yeah, you work with these ragamuffins over here, or you have random people chase you down for a bounty.
And that's when Gekkomon jumps into the apartment, wants E-Pulse, and Tiny Mushmon, which explodes into spores. And then you would have thought Kinoko Gang would have been translated to, like, Mushroom Gang.
Kinoko is a type of mushroom, so...
Yeah. But that's normally more used generically, especially here. Then we get the Mushroom Digimon.
I love them.
They detail...
I also love their explanation.
Yeah, where they...
Their little PowerPoint is so nice.
They detail the ministry. They would normally replace the Sapotama, take the Digimon. The suggestion is 500 credits isn't a lot, but have they detailed credits enough for us to know that yet? I guess first episode, maybe. I guess, but like it
they
felt
don't
like
really have like a reference for
yeah. That's
like,
what I mean.
Like currency conversion.
Yeah. Then Gekkomon gets smushed. Can't move. I love Tomuro grabbing him and running, like he didn't even think about it.
Like, oh shit! Guess this is my lizard now.
And then, after Mushmon get thrown off a bit, hey, look, it's Chombomon, and he's doing his beloved spore attack with mushrooms growing on people.
I always love seeing that little pink bastard. He's hilarious. I don't know why.
Also, Chirapmon arriving and attacking was a great moment. I really liked that.
Also, I love Chirapmon just analyzing things by using the little camera and its eyes. I must record this.
I like the Wolverine burning the mushrooms off accidentally. And then...
quotation marks.
The mushroom guy... I love they run off once they hear it's glowing dawn.
Like, oh, not fucking with you. Mm-mm, nope. It's like we have self-preservation. I hope we see them again.
It feels like we should. I'm trying to decide, like, if we'll see them again normally or if we'll be in some group thing later. Kyo welcomes them back for dinner. He made spaghetti. Other Digimon still confused at him eating the food. Tomura really isn't handling stuff well. Points out, you know, you have to eat if you want to rescue. I'm very interested in that a lot of the episode one mysteries, which were world setup, they fully dealt with, or mostly fully, and then they introduce more proper ongoing mystery stuff.
Like, wow, shit looks pretty fucked. It's like they're living in what's essentially like a repurposed storage container.
Well, see, that's the thing is, that part isn't clear, like, it's clearly not a secret base, because, like, they have, like, a tag there that says it's them, but it may just be purposely a base out of the way. That's where we need more details, and I'm perfectly willing to actually expect those type of answers here, which is really nice.
Are you out here for the aesthetic, or, like, is there a reason you chose this spot?
I feel like Kyo's general mood means that he may have just done it for his own amusement. But I'm waiting to find out, because I'm very interested in... The world building has been decent so far, especially with episode 2. Yeah,
give me more.
Yeah. I'm also very enjoying the... Where it... This wasn't part 2 of 2 for premiere. It's a self-contained episode that's just the story continues on. It looks like they're doing that next time, and I feel like after Ghost Game, it's nice to get that.
Yes, yeah, so it's like, the first part of Ghost Game was great, but then they did what they did.
Yeah. I would say probably not as strong as the premiere, but very good, and really all boding well.
So I like seeing the Haimon basically just have a fist put through his chest.
I love that we're getting follow-up on the Haimon already, and we're getting it again the next episode. That's great.
Yep.
Then some cast details. Like we said, Gokuumon is actually credited as the mysterious Digimon, and that is Kazuhiro Yamaji, who actually has a few Digimon roles. He was Professor Akiharu in Survive. He was the Paimon in Ghost Game. And are you ready for me to turbo through some of his bigger roles?
Yes, that'd be very fun.
Okay, Kenny in Attack on Titan, Sid in most of the voice Final Fantasy VII content, Kay in Kamen Rider Blade, Garling in Gildo in One Piece, Silver Fang in One Punch Man, Joji in Psycho Pass, Henry in Spy Family, Makoto in most of the Yakuza games, and are ready for some of the American actors he dubs over for in Japanese movies?
Yes.
Okay, Jason Statham, Russell Crowe, Sean Penn, Willem Dafoe, Al Pacino, Christopher Waltz, and only one more and one specific role. If I say the actor, you will be able to guess the role. Are you ready?
Hopefully I remember this person's name.
Hugh Jackman.
Jesus.
Which role would you say is notable for him to play of Jackman's?
I would assume Wolverine.
Yes. Then the brothers were credited by mushroom names.
Oh my God.
And weirdly, so I think only one of the Mushmons talked, the Chombomon, the other Mushmon didn't. There's no credit for them, so I assume it's one of the brothers.
Oh.
So Yusuke Numeda was Shiitake. He was Perorimon and Atmon and Bokomon in Ghost Game.
Hopefully he doesn't follow the path of Bokomon in Ghost Game.
He was Baby in Dragon Ball GT. He's various roles in Kitaro. He was Kotaro in World Trigger. And in dubbed over content, I saw it, I'm like, I'm only putting one of these for him, but it's the funniest one possible. He's Sheen in Jimmy Neutron.
I didn't even know Jimmy Neutron was dubbed in Japan.
Apparently. Although I suppose that could be the movie.
Still, it's not something I would expect.
Then Yasuhiro Takato's Shimeji. So many Digimon roles, we'll only go over a few, but he was Elecmon in Adventure Try in 2020, Gekkomon in Tamers, Gatsumon in Frontier, he was the Ice Devimon in Cross Wars, Fugumon in Hunters, Gomimon in Atmon, Vadamon in 2020, he was the Pumpmon in Ghost Game.
Oh.
And his best known roles outside of that are Gluttony in the original Full Metal Alchemist anime.
I can definitely hear that.
Various Kitaro anime, he's Russia and Italia, And he was Artemis in the original anime of Sailor Moon.
Huh.
And last was Urenji, which is a type of mushroom I've never been able to say the name of, is Yoshiyuki Kano. Small roles in Cross Wars and Ghost Game for Digimon. He's Gilbert in Code Geass.
That's great.
Yeah, that's the one that I saw. I'm like, I don't even need to put any credits because you're going to know this exactly, Div.
Yes. It's like that other series that I'm obsessed with.
Yeah. And then preview of next episode is Facing Mirrors. That's at the end of the episode. They also put it up as a YouTube short. And then we have a few bits of news for Beat Break. So first up, Beat Break appeared in Animedia with an interview and new poster art. We got previews of those label cans. I'm so abused at like how they're sealed in plastic.
Kind of going a little over the top for some can stickers.
To be fair, they are like $6 each. So they better show up nice. Then on Wednesday, IGN is doing their seasonal fan fest stream and something Digimon Beat Break will be shown there. Most people are assuming it's just going to be like slightly updated trailer or preview of episode 3 or something like that. Because they basically brand that anything they show will be quote-unquote exclusive content, so we'll see what it actually is. Then before episode 2 aired, they put up the line drawings for Murasumon's debut in episode 1, that attack sequence. Full minute long of the art. It looks great. It's really worth watching.
I saw the screenshots of that. Didn't get to watch the actual clip yet.
Oh yeah, it's really good. Then Brugula did some of those nice stickers they do that you can put on devices and water and light resistant for the Beat Break characters.
Who would like some of those?
See, they're about $4 each. Those are the type of things where they will show up at conventions for 15 each.
Yeah.
And then the new issue of Voice Actor Grand Prix out as interviews with Mio Arino and Megumi Han. Moving on from Beat Break, Liberator, which is web novel Debug 20. This one was weird for me because when was the last time they did anything with Suzune? And
Two or 3 months ago, at least, I feel.
And then like they point out that Lacuna doesn't have a cold zone, which is weird, but I didn't think about it. We also get Pangeomon showing up. This is where it shows Bandai not paying attention to their own stuff, because as we know, Bandai very strictly will stick to their names no matter how much they don't make sense. So I'm pretty sure in Time Stranger, anytime I saw Pangeomon, it was called Ice Leomon. Even though here, they're using Pangeomon. They mentioned Dalphomon again, which they've mentioned a bit over the last few months, but nothing seen. And I have to be honest, Suzune's character didn't feel... It was very odd, her doing the, oh, we can't help either side because it's not... It was a bit... didn't quite fit before. I guess the idea is when she's doing it before, she's doing it as an agent in Lacuna, and here, it's not her... It felt weird to me. I don't know. It may just be that we have not heard from her for so long.
Like on like a full reread, it would flow better and, you know.
Probably. I assume it's just that we haven't heard much from her for a while, so I'm just getting an odd read on it.
It's like, this person doesn't exist. And it's like, this character was here before doing something.
Yeah. I assume I'm just getting an odd read on it, though. And then... jumping over to Time Stranger stuff, we got first up a concept art of Inori as she appears in the prelude anime short.
It's like seeing a concept art.
Yeah. Then we also got...
we had books for them.
Yeah, we also got concept art of Revolmon / Deputymon from the short. I think a lot of people never saw his bullet before this. It seemed like a lot of people hadn't seen that, which love that bullet.
A little more leggy than usual. Or is it just me?
Him, yes. I'm talking about the actual bullet itself that shoots out of the gun barrel.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely the proportions skew to a bit taller with the legs and everything.
Okay, so I'm not going crazy. Yeah.
And then we got week one Japanese physical sales. People seemed shocked it was not as high as expected. I think it was about where we would expect it to be. I'm waiting for Bandai to comment where stuff is. Because so many sales are digital nowadays. Being like being told it did about 24,000 physically on the PS5 doesn't tell us all that much. It lets us estimate some other things, but nothing that wild.
Slight delay on physical copies compared to digital copies anyway, or am I just hallucinating that? Or was it just for PC?
Wait, say that again? Sorry, I missed what you're saying.
Wasn't there a delay on physical copies for one of the systems compared to digital download? Or am I thinking of something else?
So, Time Stranger, it was where in Japan, physical PS5 copies were coming out the second, and it was Steam the third. Here, it was Steam the second and physical the third, because it was timed to be the same everywhere for Steam.
Oh, okay.
So technically, if you're in Japan, there was a delay by a day. I consider that concurrent enough to be concurrent. You may also be thinking of like how Cyber Sleuth came out on the Vita, and then it was a year until we got it on PS4 and Vita, and then Japan, I don't think they got the PS4 one until Hacker's Memory came out a year or two later.
Might be it.
Yeah, I don't quite remember. But yeah, went over numbers and everything. I'd say it's fine. It's fine until we hear different. I expect it's done between 500,000 to 1,000,000, which is pretty good for Digimon. The only way the numbers look bad is if you, as I say in the article, the people who are expecting it to be to the moon. Like, it's not shocked that Final Fantasy Tactics beat it, Mario Kart World beat it, Mario Galaxy, Ghost of Yotei spanked it. Which that's not a shock. That was going to be a big game.
And Silksong basically crashed every
I'm talking about like that specific week in sales. I don't think Silksong charted in Japan physically. If it did, it probably would have. If it did, it probably would have been a month ago. Has physical copies of that game come out yet, or is it all digital right now?
It is all digital.
Okay, then yeah, it wouldn't be there.
Usually, like Fangamer releases like a super fancy physical copy, like a year or two.
Yeah.
Down the road.
Yeah. Then we got the anime short will release tomorrow morning. I am not waking up at 7 a.m. to see it. I will watch it whenever I get up, probably an hour or two later.
I actually have to get up slightly after that to go to work, so maybe I'll get to see it before I drag myself there.
And then, game patch. They fixed various bugs and fixed some other stuff. The most common glitch that I saw when I was playing, which they fixed, was a specific Agiomon glitch. I don't know how other people are getting it. I know for me, if I had it so Agiomon would appear evolved when a match began and he died in a match, it would show him at full health on the menus after, but when I would go to another match, he would only have 1 HP. But since he was full outside of the match, there was no way to heal him before. So I had to make sure the match finished with him having 2 HP or more. Or else he would glitch basically every time.
Damn.
Yeah.
You think they would have caught that in quality control, considering
it's so easy. To be fair, they may have. It may have been at a specific moment. You know, there's so many weird variables. Maybe it only shows up when specific Digimon are in the party and I happen to have them. Because I definitely saw people who had the same glitch that I saw, but with how much he's in the game, you would have figured you would have seen it a lot more. So it's a bit hard to tell, honestly. And then our second Time Stranger contest ended. Some good entries. I like the one that's the Time Stranger cover done as if it were the world cover. And also the Gomamon one.
It's happy when Gomamon is evolved.
Oh no, Gomamon one isn't evolved at all. Gomamon one is...
Involved.
Oh, okay, involved, yeah. Yeah, just Gomamon screaming, let me in. Yeah, good entries there. Given away every copy of the game I could get my hands on to give away. New York Comic Con just ended. Megumi Han did multiple autograph sessions today. They did raffles all weekend long for tickets for it. They did a screening of the Prelude short, which I think is the premiere of it, at the Beat Break panel. So I would not be shocked if we got like a panel report in the next few days. they had said they were going to be some new stuff shown. I gather it was maybe a clip of episode 3. You know, fun, but not the problem is people are now getting the expectation like every event's going to be some big announcement.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And then 3 episodes of Terry Montez in the Lab. The first is, was the funniest to me. This is the second or third time he's collaborated with Shirakami Fubuki. They talk about Digimon by asking questions. And when he finds out her favorite Digimon movie is Diablomon Strikes Back, they do a drawing quiz. And some of the sketches of moments are great. Koshiro drinking oolong tea might be the funniest picture. Because it looks like he's downing booze.
I was actually thinking like the second one where it just looks like a little bug skittering around.
The funny part is that's really accurate to that shot of the movie.
Dedication.
Then an episode where Terrymon talks to Megumi Han about Beat Break, and they're like, this was recorded in August, so she's not spoiling stuff. And of course, she talks about being a Digimon fan as a kid, how various partner Digimon are huge voice actors. And I like how at the end, when Terrymon, they normally have him do a random attack from a different Digimon. He does an attack from the other Geckomon, and it looks sad when he realizes it was the wrong character. And then they also talk to fans at Digimon Expo to find out their knowledge of Terrymon Assistant.
Hopefully they succeeded and didn't disappoint him.
I just like how many people had the plush, which I assume they gave out for the photos, I assume.
That would make sense, considering how much of a pain it is probably just...
Well, remember, they...
be carrying that around at an event.
But remember, they were selling it there. So it's not impossible that people... That was one of the products they were selling at the store. And I think that was one of the first things that sold out.
Yeah.
Then, Dev, I'm sorry to say, cards are short this week. Okay, so we get 6 cards for Battle Pack 29. Digital Gate open. They've been using this promo card art a lot, but it has not shown up on a card yet.
Yeah.
Fascomon being sleepy. That's very...
Fascomon so much.
That's so cute, that art. Tyrannomon looks a bit angry.
Yep.
Also, I guess it's just the shading. Are his spines way less green than they should be?
They feel more olive, or like they feel very muddy.
Yeah.
Usually they're like a really bright green.
Then we get Justimon Excel Arm using the Excel Arm.
Very Justimon pose.
I like the where it almost is like breaking through the frame with the glass.
Yeah.
Release of the Sealed Knight.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's weird. Basically. It's less dynamic. Also, they tend to forget that that's meant to be the perfect form, isn't it? Because they normally go with the Dorugorumon, don't they?
Yeah.
Then Insane Synthetic Monster. That's such nice Chimeramon art. Plus, you get the Marine Chimeramon in the back that no one's noticing. Because you can barely see the dude. It's right to the left of the horn.
Okay, yeah, I see him. It's really... Yeah, it's really, really fucking tiny.
Yeah, it's like not detailed or anything.
It's like, if you know, you know.
Yeah. Then the card battle, they do a Hudimon versus Dullahamon match. And a very nice trailer for Boosters at 23. Fantastic trailer. They've really amped these up in the past year. And that's it for cards, Dev.
It was so long.
They'll get revenge on us for that joke. They
always do.
The Imperial Dramon Amplified Limited Color Version model kit is up to pre-order. It's weird. There's like, the coloring is not super special on this one. It just looks really good.
The texture makes it look a little richer. Yeah.
But like, it's not like the Dukemon one where it's like, it's metallic and it's nice and we just kept mocking it because it's like, we can barely tell the difference.
I can't tell the difference. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, this one is a noticeable difference from the other one. Yeah, also, I'm surprised it's not like $10,000.
I feel like 40-ish feels about right. Especially since this is the third release of this kit. Because remember, they had the normal one, then they had the Paladin Mode one.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I always expect them with the limited color versions to jack up the price as much as they can get away with.
I feel like on the third one, they have to be a bit more conservative price-wise. Because you have to, the people most likely to buy this already own it twice. And then, because they want your money, Dev, Premium Bandai US opened pre-orders for the Digimon Color Cross Wars.
When I looked on there earlier, it only had Crossheart. It didn't have Blue Flare.
Okay, so that's the weird one. The reason why I link both in the article is it's definitely not showing Blue Flare in searches, but it's there. If you check the front page, it will show both. And I think until the end of tonight, they're doing free shipping. I think. Yeah, so this is the same as the Japanese one, just easier order, and it ship in March. Or, sorry, May. And Dev, so there was no way to tempt AR with the collaboration, but the round one collaboration we talked about last week, we have all the details of.
The drinks actually look drinkable.
So yeah, so let's start. The drinks are at bowling, karaoke, dart, billiard locations. So the drinks are 850 yen each. Tomorrow in Gekkoman's grape drink. It's grape syrup mixed in melon soda and carbonated water, topped with frozen whipped cream, cut lemon, blue Hawaii syrup. The frozen whipped cream is a bit weird to me.
I guess to make it, like, keep its shape with the carbonation.
Yeah, I guess. It feels weird.
Otherwise, it would dissolve pretty quickly.
So, I'm not a big fan of grape drinks, so this one isn't to me. But there's nothing overly weird about this one, so it's not my flavors. Rain and
but I also don't like melon drinks, so.
Yeah, that's true. Rain and Pristimon strawberry drinks. So, strawberry syrup mixed with calipus, mixed with frozen whipped cream, mango sauce, and mango chunks. I'm okay with the strawberry. I'm not a big fan of the various mangoes mixed in with the strawberry and also the slightly milky drink. It at least
it doesn't really. They actually do have a strawberry calipus, so it's actually like.
Okay, so it's a standard flavor combination for the drink, is what you mean, though.
Yeah, so it's nothing like weird.
Okay. Okay, then Makoto and Trotmon's blue. I like how the others get flavor. He gets blue. Grape syrup, blue Hawaii syrup, mixed with carbonated water, topped with frozen whipped cream, cut lemon, mango sauce.
It's okay.
This is like a mix of other drinks. And that they continue that theme with Kyo and Marasimon's Hawaiian drink. So we get blue Hawaii syrup mixed in calipus, frozen whipped cream, cut lemon. It's actually interesting because if you take like two of these drinks, I think you can make all four from them.
That's probably the point. Just make it easy for them to like just pour them right out.
Yeah. I don't think any of these suit the flavors I'm looking for. I feel like the Hawaiian drink is probably the closest. Like, which of these appeals to you the most?
Raina's or Kyo's.
Yeah. Food is 1,090 yen. Glowing Dawn snack time, which is takoyaki with ketchup, honey mustard vinegar, takoyaki sauce, dried bonito flakes, and Aonori seaweed.
So it's basically regular-ass takoyaki, but they give you
extra
a side
sauces.
Of different sauces.
Yeah. Then Glowing Dawn's dessert reward, which pancakes, frozen whipped cream, mango chunks, strawberry R1 ice. R1 ice appears to be there in... like their private label ice cream, strawberry syrup, color spray, mixed juice, and Pocky.
I mean, it honestly looks like something that you'd find at just like a crepe shop. So
yeah,
basic flavors. I would eat it.
Then the sports challenge facilities, which are 53 of them. I assume those ones do not have like the full menu stuff, which is why they have these. A range drink, which you pick from 7 drinks and 6 ice creams to make your own. The drink selection is Coca-Cola, melon soda, calpis soda, orange juice, iced coffee, or oolong tea. Ice cream is R1 original, which appears to be like some mixed fruit or birthday cake type flavor.
It looks like birthday cake.
It does to me, but it feels like it'd be fruit or flavor or something. Vanilla, strawberry, cookies and cream, gâteau, chocolate, and Ramune. So, Dev, what would your combination be?
Probably the Calpico and the either vanilla or the Ramune flavor.
I feel like I'd want to try something like...
a basic pitch.
See, I would want to try some of those, but the first one I would want to try would be something like an iced coffee with vanilla ice cream. I feel like those would go together well.
I mean, that's basically a Starbucks vanilla frap to begin with.
Yeah, but I don't drink those.
I buy them by the case. I just keep them in my car and
I'm trying to
fuel myself.
I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to think what the worst one is, and I think I got it. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oolong tea with cookies and cream ice cream.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, that doesn't. Then they all at the sports challenge facilities. They also have popcorn. I assume the reason why it's listed as part of the collaboration is it's eligible for collaboration, not points, but you know, like getting bonus stuff. Salted popcorn for 780 yen, caramel for 880 yen. My only issue is
like collaboration packaging or something.
My issue is if you look at that, does that look like a big enough container for popcorn?
Well, it looks like a drawing, so like I can't actually gauge the size of it.
See, I'm looking at the pieces of popcorn in there, and like to me, it feels like a French fry container. Then a handful of stores that do not have collaboration drinks will have plain drinks with novelty gifts. So basically, their full range of drinks like plain Coke, Fanta, Cafe Au Lait. Hot, they put corn potage, which more of a soup. But yeah, it makes sense. I assume that one like only has pre-made stuff.
Yeah, or something that comes out of like a soda fountain kind of a deal.
I'm trying to imagine corn potage coming out of that, but I guess it could. Do you think that comes out of a giant coffee, like one of those giant coffee dispensers?
Like the one cafe my friend worked for, it's just like, you just kind of like, it's like in a big bowl, but you kind of like tip it and it pours out like it's a,
like a fruit,
like a tea, kind of.
Huh. I didn't think about that, honestly. The novelty gifts are, October through early December's clear cards, December through January, the end of the collaboration is standee coasters. Now, what's interesting is the coasters feature all of them wearing jackets that I don't think we've seen before. And I wonder if we'll see those in the anime.
Hopefully.
They're neat.
They are those neat are jackets. Really fucking cool.
Yeah. Then collaboration packs. This is where you get like a mat as an extra, and it's different mats based on what the stores have. So like karaoke packs, game packs, dark packs, billiards, free time. One, Diver City Tokyo will have a themed room. I need photos of the actual room because the press image, it feels a bit too goofy, especially with the orange couch. There'll be campaigns for like bowling scores, that sort of thing. Then Crane Games will have custom products in them. Acrylic keychains. And if you let staff know you're going for Beat Break items, you get bonus clear files if you spend 500 yen. Does that feel low for a Crane Game?
Yes.
You'd
considering figure, how much the Crane Games fucking cost here.
No, that's what I mean. Like, you would figure it'd be like 2,000 yen or something. 500, although I guess that's if someone was only going to try like once or twice, 500 yen almost makes it easy to keep trying.
Yeah, they could probably get like two or three shots.
Yeah, then five stores and online shops will have products. It'll be can badges, acrylic stands, acrylic keychains, clear files, and hologram stickers. But what they're going to do is they're going to have different ones for the first and second half, but the second half will have both sets. And then also social media campaigns to give away stuff and such. It's interesting. It's going for longer. The scale feels both bigger and smaller. Like, the drinks are less customized to the characters than a lot of the ones we see, but also feels like, okay, it makes more sense that these are going to be on a menu for a few months and not just a month.
Yeah, it's like, we don't have room for abominations. Just put up what people will probably actually drink.
Yeah. Yeah, very neat, especially for the first one for Beat Break. I admit I am hoping we get some of the weird, stupid ones later, though.
Because those are always fun.
Yeah.
And horrifying.
And then new poll. We're away from the Digimentals, Dev. They picked 14 of the Shoutmon Digicrosses, and pick your favorite. The ones where you like actually upgrades to a new form.
I know what one I'm voting for, but it's a tough call. I can't even guess what's going
to
come.
Yeah, this one's hard to gauge because I feel like just out of popular ones, you could pick GM or SD, because they're popular ones that show up less often, so people are going to be hot to vote for them. Cross 4 is popular. Cross 4B is popular. People have always liked Cross 4S, 5. Like, most of these are actually, like, relevant ones you could see being voted for. If you had,
also, Cross 4 Knight just looks so fucking cool.
If you had to guess one to win, who would you say? I feel like it's 4 or Superior Mode.
I feel 4, just because that was, like, the major one that showed up the most, and the one that had the most toys of it when they did have it.
That feels like the best guess. There's just so many, it's hard.
Yeah, and some don't have, like, too many variations on each other.
Yeah, like a lot of from normal Cross 3 to various Cross 5s are functionally minor differences visually. So I could see those kind of, like, fighting each other.
Cannibalizing each other.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to that one, though, because that's neat. Then the Weekend Potpourri. First up, stack of reference book updates. We went over Marasimon and Wolvermon last week. In the past week, we've gotten Haimon, Master Blimpmon, and Cougarmon. That art of Cougarmon's fantastic.
Love him. He's just an absolute unit.
It's the definition of fluffy ball.
Yes, but also this is the glare that my cat gives me when I don't wake up within, like, 5 seconds of the ass crack of dawn to give her wet food.
The Toei Museum mentioned they got the Digimon medals back in stock, and they still will engrave them if you want.
Neat.
Funny part is, those are cheaper than the Oolong tea cans for Beat Break.
Look, these are high-quality cans. These are premium.
Then in Japan, they're doing a Beat Break contest to win signed Shikishis. Nothing for us at the moment, but thought it was worth mentioning for anyone in Japan who's going to enter. As Maria tracked down the cans, he took photos of the machine, of the can. He really liked the Oolong tea. Then we got they showed off photos of the UK pop-up shop. It's a nice little corner in the Bandai Cross store. They have a nice selection of merchandise. I can't imagine the prices are good, though. How much are they selling Survive for? I'm trying to look in the photo, trying to see if I can, like, make out the price, and I can't.
That's not quite that.
No. Yeah. Some photos of New York Comic Con of the Eliason and card game booths. God, I can't decide if they did that get rid of the beta because it's launching anytime soon, or if that was just, like, a normal thing and they forgot to do it initially, and it's just suspect timing now.
Yeah, who the fuck knows?
Yeah, we got I love the card game art this time. Ryotaro with Doku-san, which was the... He wants Jim and Sauna recommendation. Such good,
like,
art.
You're barking up the wrong tree, my dude.
So this was an interesting one. Miyoki Yamamoto, who's a professional drummer for various shows and bands, posted some images saying it was a drumming session, posted a photo of a figure he had saying it's a familiar person. And later, Alisa Okezama, who's in charge of the music for Beat Break, actually said that was behind the scenes of recording music for Beat Break Episode 1.
Neat.
And since he's the drummer, that makes it even more relevant, which is fun. Then a few Beat Break related photos. Megumi Han posted a photo of her on the plane with her Gekkomon acrylic stand as she was going to New York Comic Con.
Aww.
Then members of the Beat Break production team going to a shrine with a charm, hoping it would be a hit.
That's adorable.
I believe that's the director in the photo, even though they don't say names who was there. A few Beat Break staff art from episode 1 that we missed last time. I love the cartoony one. Then some
art skills.
Then some art from this time. Takeru Kojima, the character designer, put up art of Reina and Pristimon to celebrate episode 2. I don't remember.
I love Pristimon's face.
I love both of them here. I don't remember them being this happy in episode 2, though. Do you?
No, they just look generally kind of grumpy at having to deal with a fucking noob.
Then the Digimon TV Twitter put up a staff list along with a production drawing of Gekkomon. I'd love that we're getting, like, production art as the show airs. It's great.
Like, yes, please give me more behind-the-scenes stuff. Also, I know we haven't gotten them in years, but I really wish they would, like, start up again with, like, the Digimon art books.
The last one we got was, I believe it covered Tri-Parts 1 through 3.
That was it! And yeah. Before that, it was, I think, Animation Chronicle.
Yeah, I think that's right. But yeah, it would definitely be nice to get more of those. God, there's so much good art. Re-release old ones also.
Yes.
Then for chat, time to throw in questions. Diego messaged us thanking us for continuing the World Trigger bit. Then they had mentioned that in the past they had mentioned they were in the middle of like a multi-year thing where nothing was happening in the manga. He said that finally just ended, and now it's a battle royale with 100 named characters. Which sounds kind of miserable, doesn't it?
Miserable to read or miserable to draw, because damn.
Both. Then Stark wants to know, we're only 2 episodes in, do we have a favorite human protagonist yet for Beat Break? I feel like we haven't seen enough of anyone except Tomorrow and Kyo, like, to get a full handle on their personalities. I'm saying Tomorrow for now.
I will wait a little bit longer to make a decision.
Yeah, out of what there is, I would say Tomorrow, but I feel like a single episode could push Makoto Arena very high up. Because it feels like
we're going just by their Digimon.
Yeah. Okay. Stark added that. Who, more accurately, who are we more excited to see more from? I feel like Reyna is the one who feels like she's going to be the most interesting.
I kind of want to see Makoto snap and just, you know, wreck shit. It's like, because they're like so soft and pleasant and.
Yeah, you're right.
Their Digimon's a tiny little bat vampire thing. They're just going to go demon mode on something down the line.
A tiny little bat who's a weird otaku.
Yes.
And some people would think I'm mocking the character. I'm not. That's in the description. Then someone said, I'm a longtime Digimon fan, but after you've talked about media literacy, I realize I should stretch and find more things outside my comfort zone. If I generically have liked most or all Digimon things, what media of any type would you recommend? That is a big question.
Depends on what you like Digimon for. Like, yeah. You want creatures beating the ever-living shit of other creatures?
I feel like the one flaw there is a lot of shows in the genre would not be stretching that much to move from Digimon to Monster Anime X is the one issue with that, I think. Although there are some good choices, like, what would your choice be, Dev? Yeah, I feel like...
Honestly, the ones with you kind of works with, you know, like, hey, you like kids that are, like, little edgelords that have partners and are in death-defying situations all the time and are going through trauma?
If you want kids with trauma, the best option is watch Nobody's Boy Remy.
Seen that one.
Oh, that's the one that defines trauma in anime. Yeah, I think it's less specific stuff and more if you know you're in your comfort zone, look for something that doesn't quite fit and see how it is. There's a lot of options there, though. Then someone said, we talked about Time Stranger being more in the middle quality-wise. What games have we played lately that we'd consider better, including upcoming ones? So one's like, I'm going to pop open Steam because while I've had the time in the past week and a half, I've been playing a bunch of games.
I've only been playing the one, and everyone knows which one that is.
Silk Song. Okay, yep. So I'm going to go through some games that I've played, and we'll see what you think of them, Dev. Earthion, which is a like a side-scrolling shooter, but it's made to be like a real Genesis game. That one
is that the one that kind of that you showed me the trailer, and it kind of gives me Gradius vibes.
I think so. Yeah, it's fine. I don't think it's great. I enjoy it, though. Then Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, which, oh, man, I'm so happy to see Ninja side-scrollers make a return this year. That one's good.
Okay, you used to play, like, the old Nintendo one, and that was ridiculously fun.
So, yeah, this is a side-scroller. It's not a full 3D one like the recent ones have been. It's ridiculously fun.
No, I want
fun.
The old ones.
Yeah, I played multiple hours of Peak with someone. That game is very good. Multiplayer Zelda climbing.
I've watched a couple of different VTubers play that, and it's like, long live the king.
I played a bit. I played a bit of Illusion Island, which is a Mickey Mouse platformer. Very interesting. I don't know if you get them later. There's no attacks. It's in the vein of Metroidvania, where you get more stuff.
Okay.
I played... There's a new Marvel beat-em-up coming out. There was a demo. Played it. Loved it. Ready for the big surprise, Dev? Bubsy 4D.
You mentioned that.
It's really good. Then also...
Well, I know you were, like, waiting for and very excited about it.
Because the trailers looked like it was going to be a fun platformer. Like, they were leaning into Bubsy in the sense of humor, but the actual game looked good, and it is. A few too many modes, though. Like, in the sense of, if you press this button, you turn into a ball that rolls around. This button lets you glide in midair and change stuff. This button puts you on all four cat legs, and your motion changes.
So, like, a little overly complicated, but...
A bit, but good. But, yeah, I could see it being a bit much for people. Ramon says, what horror game would you get first between Silent Hill F or Little Nightmares 3? Little Nightmares 3, I know is... I've heard it's good, but not as good as the first two, which I think this is new developers. I have the first two. I haven't played them yet. Silent Hill F, my understanding is it's supposed to be good. I feel like
My coworker likes it, so...
I feel like I'm not playing any horror games until the new Resident Evil, though. Although I think I would be more tempted by F if it hits a good sale. I've seen it for like 25% off. If it hit 30, I'd probably just jump and get it.
You don't bother playing horror games. They're just kind of like...
For me, it depends.
A little on the boring side.
For me, it depends what it is. If it's just, oh, you're going to walk through and stuff's going to jump at you, I don't care. It's when they have decent action or story. Like, I'm trying to think if Oberdin would count as horror. That was a wild game where there's basically nothing. It's just you wandering out a ship with a very interesting art style trying to figure out what's happened. And also, like, things popping up through time and whatnot.
Oh, that seems very interesting.
Yeah, that's the type of thing where I imagine... Let me see if I can find a good screenshot and I'll show you in chat. Ah, here we go. Let me show you first, Dev, and link to chat. Where it's like 2-bit graphics. Where and you can have the color emulate different types of old monitors where it's all 3D, but only with two colors on screen.
That is actually visually very interesting.
Yes, the plot of the game, as I recall, is you're a detective or an investigator, and you're told a ship that vanished 8 years ago just showed up in port. There's no one on the ship or anything. Ramon hit the on the head. It looks like a ghost ship from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, but now I'm remembering like the old Scooby-Doo game on Sega Genesis, which was a pain in the ass.
Yeah, Oberdin feels like the type of horror game that's in your vein where it's less that it's not going to jump out and scare you. It's just going to be weird and you figuring it out.
I love the more subtle ones.
Yeah, that's why I think you'd like it. Then someone said, what type of crust or styles of pizza do you like and which you not like? You've talked about toppings before, but not the crust.
I like nice fluffy crust where I can just actually prefer eating the crust to the rest of the pizza.
I will like most pizzas as long as it's made well. The only, like, Chicago isn't quite my style just because it's more casserole-y. And someone sent...
I live on the East Coast, so we mostly have, like the thin kind of pizzas.
Yeah, most types out here are thin also. The one that someone sent me, like, a few weeks ago, I think I sent the link to you, Dev, was the restaurant that designed the pizza pot pie. Did I send you that?
I believe you did. It sounds really familiar.
Okay, so what is it's like the chicken pot pie dish, like the white... ceramic dish. They put cheese sauce in it, then they do like a pot pie crust at the top. They bake it, they bring it to the table, they flip it over upside down, and they take off the baking dish, and like the whole thing just plops onto the crust. I saw it, I'm like, that doesn't seem very appealing to me, but it's memorable.
I mean, I love pot pies, but that's...
Yeah, I'm gonna find that and send it to you again to get your opinion on it. Let's see.
I don't like overly slimy foods.
Last chance in chat for questions. Someone said, sometimes I see Digimon fans talk about wanting Digimon to move on and do different things, but when it does, like Cross Wars, they seem unhappy. It isn't what they want. I was wondering, why do you think this is? And when Digimon does something mature, they tend to complain it isn't what it was before.
Because they're all whiny bitches.
It fits into the same question where it's more when people get the idea of what it is and then don't like it. It's sort of like when people go, Tamers is so mature and different from Adventure, when they're kind of not that different. Which that kind of matches with the media literacy question someone asked earlier, where Stark in chat actually put a good one for that question, which is, he said, because you're listening to a lot of different people complain and conflating that all to one person. Generally, yeah, it is. There's different complaints, but there does tend to be a bit skewing to people kind of want the same thing, but also for it to be just different enough that it feels unique.
They want the thing that they want, but a little bit to the left this time.
Yes.
Just for some variety.
Yes. I think that's why, like, when we bring up other shows, it's like, that stuff exists. It may not be Digimon, but there's so much out there that, and it makes Digimon sometimes feel fresh when you go back to it. I think that's it in chat for the questions. While we wait to see if any last-minute questions. Dev, what Wikimon article would you like people to read?
Otamamon.
That's a good one. Okay, next week we should be back to Monday. I'm just not available tomorrow. Let's see, we'll be talking about Beat Break Episode 3. Any news that pops up? Nice that it went a bit quicker, huh, Dev?
Yeah, 2 hours this time.
To be fair, we had a lot to talk about last time.
Yeah, we got kind of bombarded with everything, plus the first episode and everything that comes with that, and I'm so tired.
So we will catch you guys next time. I can be found at With the Will as always. We will catch you guys, not next Monday because that's tomorrow, but in a week and change. Thank you everyone for showing up. Bye.
Bye.